Okay, good morning. Today's shiur is sponsored for a refuah shleima for Rasha Malka Bas Tzor Rivka, also Leila Nishmas, Asher Lama Michal Ben Yosef, and Schus for Shaduchim for Rivka Eliza Bas Shoshana Elka, and Yonina Chaya Etta Bas Shoshana Elka, and also a refuah shleima for Tzvi Lipa Ben Esther Rechel. You should hear simchas and good news from all of these and from everybody in the Klal Yisrael. Okay, what we're going to do today, we are in the middle of learning Hilchos Brachos. We've had 8 shiurim on Brachos. For the number 9, we're going to continue with Hilchos Brachos, but a little bit of a different topic, nothing to do with food, since it's been raining the past few days, and I hear that there's rain in the forecast as well. We're going to discuss the halachos of the Brachos on thunder, lightning, and rainbows. So, as you all know, this is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Chav Zayin. When you hear thunder and when you see lightning, we say a bracha. It's based on a Mishnah and a Gemara in Brachos. For thunder, as you all know, we say the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shekoicho Gvurasai Malei Olam. Kocho is the strength, the Gvurasai, the power, the strength fills the world. We praise Hashem, Shekoicho Gvuraso Malei Olam. And as you know, when you see lightning, you say the bracha of Osa Maaseh Bereishis, that Hashem created as Maaseh Bereishis. So let's discuss the different questions that come up and some common misconceptions in regards to these halachos, since they're very important. First of all, the bracha on the lightning of Osa Maaseh Bereishis is, even if you do not see the squiggly line, even if you do not see the actual lightning bolt, still, this is from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Tzitz Eliezer, still you make the bracha on the lightning. As long as you see either the sky or the room light up, that is enough to make the bracha on the lightning. You do not need to see the sky, you do not need to see the lightning bolt itself. That the Pesukim can tell us, you still make the bracha as long as there is a flash and you know that it is from lightning. It's not that it's the light bulb or something like that. You know for a fact that it's lightning, then you make the bracha of Osa Maaseh Bereishis. Those of you who memorized the charts already that we gave out a couple of weeks ago, so let's say you're in the middle of davening and you hear thunder or you see lightning, are you allowed to say the bracha on the thunder and lightning when you are in the middle of davening? So really it depends where you are holding in davening. When you get home, you can check the chart to review it. I have an extra one right here. But what comes out is the Mishnah Berurah discusses it, and it comes out somewhat of a compromise, and the Mishnah Berurah says the following. If you are in the middle of Psukei Dezimra, or you are during the Birchos Krishma, but be'emtza haperek, which means that you've already passed the part of Yishtabach, but you're in between paragraphs. You're in between the paragraph of Yahafta and V'hayim Shamoah, meaning you already finished the paragraph of Yahafta, but you haven't started yet the paragraph of V'hayim Shamoah, or you finished V'hayim Shamoah, but you didn't say the word Vayomer yet, or you finished the bracha of Yotzer Ar, and you haven't started Avarabba or Avas Olam yet. If you're in between the paragraphs, then you are allowed to make the bracha on the thunder and the lightning. If you are in the middle of such a paragraph, or if you are in the middle of such a paragraph, in the middle of the paragraph you're after, you're in the middle of the paragraph Vayim Shema, one of the brachos of Kishma, then the Mishnah Berurah says that you do not make the bracha on the thunder and lightning. When davening is over, hopefully there will be another one, and we paskin that you're allowed to make another bracha later when you hear another thunder. It's not like you have to say the bracha on the first thunder or the first lightning that you hear or see. Even if you missed the opportunity to make the bracha at one point, for whatever reason, which we'll discuss other situations, you're able to still make it later. But that is the halacha. If you're in the middle of Psukei Dezimra, or you're in the Birchos Krishma, but be'emtza haperek, or in Krishma itself, but in between paragraphs, then you are allowed to make the bracha on the thunder and the lightning. If you're in the middle of a paragraph, or of course, if you're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, or Birchos Hamazon, then you do not make the bracha on the thunder and lightning. Another very important halacha: when a person makes a bracha on the thunder or the lightning, it must be within 2 or 3 seconds of the end of the thunder. Lightning is very quick, but it has to be within toch kedei dibur, and we hold la halacha that generally toch kedei dibur is 2 or 3 seconds. So if let's say you hear a noise and you're not sure, was that my neighbor upstairs moving the chair, or was it somebody in the other room moving a chair? And someone says, no, that was thunder. Yeah, I'm positive it was thunder. It's already probably too late. If the light flashes, and like we said before, you're not sure if it's the bulbs that are just flickering, or you're not sure if it's a lightning, and then you're not sure, you make sure, oh, yeah, it is lightning, chances are it's too late. Like we said before, you could still have another thunder or lightning and make the bracha at that point. But it has to be within toch kedei dibur of the thunder or the lightning. When the thunder finishes, thunder takes a few seconds perhaps, within 2 or 3 seconds from when it finishes, toch kedei dibur, then you have to make your bracha. If it's ready after 2 or 3 seconds, you have lost your opportunity to make the bracha. And that is also a very important halacha. It's clear from the Gemara and the Mishnah over there in brachas that we were talking about before, that both brachos, Osamasa Bracious and Shekocho Gvrasi Mola Olam, really could fit for both the thunder and the lightning. Our custom is to say Osamasa Bracious on the lightning, Shekocho Gvrasi Mola Olam on the thunder, but technically either one of them could have been apropos for either one of them. Therefore, in a situation where a person has both of them simultaneously. Now, usually that won't happen because the speed of light is much, much quicker, much faster than the speed of sound. So usually the lightning is first and then comes the thunder. But if you have a situation where they came simultaneously, let's say the clouds were very, very low, or it's a situation where you have the lightning, and then before you got a chance to start your bracha on the lightning, the thunder already came. So now you have both of them right in front of you. You have the thunder and the lightning. Either they came simultaneously, or you just didn't start your bracha yet on the lightning, and already the thunder came. So over there the halacha is that you only say one bracha. Since each of the brachos can really apply to both of them, it's just that we have a custom to do Osamasa Bracious on the lightning and Kochi Rasa Malom on the thunder. But technically, each one of them could apply to both of them. Therefore, if you have them simultaneously, you only make one bracha. The one bracha that you make is Osamasa Bracious. So that can really happen. If you make two brachas, chances are that's a bracha Sheina Tzricha, as we discussed, because you could have done one bracha to be yotze, if you want to use that word, both of them. But if you have both simultaneously, or you have two in front of you at the same time because you didn't start your bracha yet, then you're supposed to only make one bracha. Our custom is that you make the bracha of Osamasa Bracious. If by mistake, you make only the Kochi Gvrasi Mola Olam, of course, b'dieved, that works, because each one really works for both of them.
I should mention, if, because this happens, let's say you hear the thunder, you start the bracha, and then I guess the thunder comes so that you're halfway through the bracha.
What thunder? You hear?
Yeah, I mean, so you see the lightning.
You see the lightning? So that's what I'm about to say. If you already started your bracha on the lightning, this is probably the most common, like you just said. The most common is you see the lightning, boom, you start saying the bracha, and while you're in the middle of the bracha, comes about the thunder. There we say that that first bracha of Osamasa Bracious does not cover the thunder, because you already started the bracha of Osamasa Bracious. Therefore, once the thunder comes along, you finish your bracha of Osamasa Bracious, and then you say the bracha on the thunder, keeping in mind what we said before, that it needs to be within 2 or 3 seconds of the end of the thunder. If you're the type of person that says Shekochu Gvrasa Olam with such kavana that it takes you 5 minutes to say the bracha, then you can no longer say the bracha on the thunder unless there's another thunder. Like we said before, you don't lose your opportunity to say the bracha on the thunder. You'll just simply have to wait for another thunder, and you'll say the bracha on the thunder at that point.
So when you say it in the middle, at what point is
that? At any point. Once you've already started, then that starting of the bracha,
like Baruch?
Even Baruch, yes. I didn't see anyone differentiate as far as what you're up to in the bracha. Okay. Once you start the bracha for the purpose of the lightning, then that can no longer work for the thunder. Yeah.
Yeah, I missed the beginning, so I'm not sure if you said this, but I thought that you're supposed to have both in order to say the bracha.
So you didn't say that. That's what I'm about to say now. There's a major misconception amongst people, and this is the way the Paiskim write it, that everybody thinks that, and it's really not true. A lot of people think, my students always ask me this, I always have people ask me this, a lot of people make a mistake, and they think that you must have both to make the bracha. To make the bracha on the lightning, or to make the bracha on the thunder, a lot of people have a misconception, and they think that you must have both the thunder and the lightning, and then you go ahead and make the brachos. Not only is that incorrect, but that's running into problems of a bracha sheina tzricha. If you have both, then you only make one bracha. So it is definitely incorrect to say that you need to have both. Where did this mistake come from? Perhaps they're getting mixed up with these halachos that we said before, that really one bracha applies to both of them, so they start thinking that both of them, you need to have both of them to have the bracha. If that is not true, maybe the mistake comes from another halacha. The halacha is that when you have lightning, but the lightning, let's say, is not from rain. It's not a lightning from rain. A lot of times there's such a thing as lightning from heat. Now, I don't know how often that happens in New York or New Jersey, but for sure up in the mountains, but they tell me that it happens over here. Also, there is such a thing for sure in the desert and up in the mountains and in camps and in the bungalow colonies. It's very, very humid, and there could be such a thing as lightning just from heat. Over there, you do not make the bracha of Osa Masa Bracious. The bracha of Osa Masa Bracious was only Mesakein, was only made on lightning, a lightning from a rainstorm, that type of lightning, not from heat. Therefore, what some people do is they see lightning and they're not 100% sure, is this lightning a lightning from a rainstorm or is it just lightning from heat? Because of that, what do? They purposely wait for thunder to come about. Because if they hear thunder, then they know, oh, that shows me that it must have been a lightning from a rainstorm, and then it requires a bracha. But that should not be done. A person is only asking for trouble. First of all, it's already maybe out of 2 or 3 seconds from the lightning. Second of all, as we said before, if you have both of them in front of you and you haven't started yet the bracha on the lightning, then you're running into problems as far as should you say one bracha or two brachas. Definitely, if you see lightning, if you're confident that it's a rainstorm type of lightning, if you have the clouds and you see it's dark clouds and it's not so hot outside, you could assume that it is a lightning, especially if it's actually raining outside, then you know it's from a lightning that requires a bracha, and do not wait for the thunder. Say the bracha right away, and then when the thunder comes, you make the bracha on the thunder. Yeah.
Scientifically, I'm so curious about what you just said, because thunder is actually just the sound of lightning. It travels slower.
Okay.
But based on what you're saying, when
there should be thunder,
I thought there was always thunder.
I don't know. Is it the same type of lightning?
It's not the same type of
lightning. It's not the same type of lightning, but
is there
thunder that accompanied heat lightning? I never knew that.
I never do this, but I've seen and I've heard that people wait for a thunder. Okay,
yeah,
maybe they're stupid also, and they don't know these things. But no, I don't mean stupid. Chas v'shalom. I'm saying, but maybe they don't know this fact. I don't know.
Is the
lightning by heat? Tell me about it. Is the lightning about heat? Is that also a bolt or is that?
No, it's like flashes.
It's just flashes, right? I have seen. I'm saying that I assumed also that it was just flashes. Those flashes also is accompanied by thunder?
No.
You thought so.
You always assume so. That's why I'm sitting here thinking, wow.
Okay.
I always listen, let me...
Thunder and lightning without rain. And then it doesn't rain.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It has no issue because it's raining somewhere else.
It's raining somewhere else.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be that it's raining by you. Right, that could be true. I've had many times. I'm driving in the highway and I see flashes of lightning in the distance many, many times. And especially if you're driving on a highway that's like very open skies and no buildings around, you can see it in the distance, but it's not raining over here.
You still say it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's still thunder and lightning.
So
yeah.
Threatening sky is what you're talking about when you say storm clouds.
Yeah, okay, right. It doesn't have to be you over there. True,
if it's
true.
Sunny and it's,
right.
Then you suspect that it's only.
Quite possibly, yeah. I mean,
if
you're not positive, like you're saying, it's perfectly a beautiful day where you are, and just you see clouds in the distance maybe, and then you see lightning over there. If you're doubtful, I guess, you have a doubt, you can't say a bracha.
So normally, normally you're saying the lightning, Osa Masabishis, first, because you see the lightning first.
Right.
So, okay.
Normally you will say the Osa Masabishis first, but what people sometimes do is they won't say the Osa Masabishis until they also have a thunder, because
right.
Then they know that lightning is Osa Masabishis. Someone taught you that?
Yeah.
To wait.
Wait,
oh, okay.
Wait to hear the thunder,
so,
and then say the thunder, then say Osa
Masabishis.
Right, so but now for sure that should not be done, because if you wait for the thunder to make your Osa Masabishis, you're running into problems, because now you're only required to say one bracha. So if you wait for the thunder, then you say both brachos back to back.
So you would just say
You just say Osa Masabishis. If you're confident enough, no, when you have both, but if you have a lightning and you're confident that it's from a rain type of lightning, you say Osa Masabishis. When the thunder comes along, you say Kocha Grasa
Maleola. No, but let's say you're not sure if it's from a rainstorm.
Okay.
5 minutes later, you hear thunder.
So then you are going to make one bracha.
Well, if it's more than 2 or 3 seconds, yeah, later, you lost your osa masa brachas.
I know, but you said that osa masa brachas anyway could work on thunder, but you would still say shekocho grumasi.
You would still say only shekocho grumasi olam. It only works on both when they're both within the past 2 or 3 seconds.
And
if it's from before, then you lost that opportunity. Hopefully another lightning will come about, and then you'll say the osam mashbet.
So in other words, if another lightning comes up later, then you can
sure,
say
yeah. You could technically say kol chagrasim olam first. Let's say I didn't see the lightning. I didn't see it. My eyes were closed. But I hear the thunder. So I say kol chagrasim olam, and then when another lightning comes about, maybe a minute later, whatever it is, I'll say the osam mashbet.
Don't you find more often there are thunderstorms with no lightning?
Could be.
Here.
Could be.
Here.
Mrs.
Here.
Sage, you tell us.
You
I don't know. Could be. If there's a thunderstorm and there's no actual lightning, yeah, you would make the kochach rasam alolam, for sure. You don't have to have both. You don't have to have both. You don't have to see slash hear both of them in order to make the bracha.
Why is it that 2 seconds?
Why? It has to be toch kedei dibur. Toch kedei dibur means... It's a discussion in the Gemara, what's that referring to? But it has to be close enough that it's connected to the lightning or the thunder. Otherwise, we say that's already too disconnected. That's for any bracha, yeah. Preferably, you should take a bite of your apple within Tokah Didi, but we don't have to repeat the bracha. But everything, when you say Hakel HaKadosh, during Aseres HaMetshuva, you're supposed to say Amel HaKadosh. You have Tokah Didi to correct yourself. Unless you start at the Choni, then you have even less than that. Then it's ready too late.
Do you have to stand up?
Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you don't have to stand up. He says it's a Birchas HaShvach, so you can sit by such a bracha. That's how I was going to say anyways. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, we'll discuss as far as if you wake up in the middle of the night, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you can sit during the bracha of thunder lightning. You do not need to stand up because it's a Birchas HaShvach. It's a praise to Hashem. My praise is to Hashem. You do not need to stand up. Another halacha. Let's say you make the bracha on the thunder or the lightning or both, and then the sky clears up totally. Sky clears up. The clouds move away, and now it is totally cleared up. So the halacha is, and then comes back the rain clouds again, whether it's the different ones, the same ones, but if the sky cleared up and now it's a second storm, so then the halacha is you make a new bracha. Even if it's the same day, if the sky cleared up, then you make a new bracha. Otherwise, you do not make a new bracha. It's all part of the same rainstorm. This I'm sure you all assumed the halacha, that if it's all part of the same rainstorm, you make it once, you don't make it twice and three times, even if it's a couple hours away from each other. But if it was all one long rainstorm, sometimes it takes a long time, a big storm, so then you do not make a new bracha. If it cleared up, then you do make a new bracha. Even if you know for a fact from the meteorologist and you heard on the radio that it's going to rain again later that day, if it cleared up, when it starts again, you make a new kochach gros me'olam, a new osam masa brachas. If the sky has not cleared up, then you don't. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that if it's a new day, then even if it is all the same rainstorm, then you do make another osam masa brachas and another kochu grasei male olam. What does that mean, a new day? So it doesn't mean, like we know, like by sunset or by tzeis hakochavim, it's halachically it's a new day. That's not what the Mishnah Berurah means over here. The place can tell us what the Mishnah Berurah means is what we call a new day is when we wake up in the morning. If it's a new rainstorm, anyways, you make a new bracha. But even if you know for a fact that it was the same rainstorm throughout the entire night, and you made the bracha before you went to sleep at night, and now it's the morning, you still make a new bracha, because that's like a new praise to Hashem, because for me it's a new day, I woke up in the morning. Now, even if it is all the same rainstorm, I do make a new bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that not only when you wake up in the morning, but also if you slept for a couple hours, whatever it is, and in the middle of the night. We'll discuss in a moment as far as waking up in the middle of the night, as far as your hands, washing your hands. But if you wake up in the middle of the night, even if it's all the same rainstorm, since you did sleep a little bit, let's assume for more than a half hour, then also you would make a new bracha when you woke up in the middle of the night.
Same thing if you take a nap during the day?
No, that is not. Not for, even if you personally took a nap in the middle of the day, but that's not considered a new day. Again, because the Mishnah Berurah says it has to be a new day. Just what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is telling us, and Rav Vosner and others, is that it doesn't mean a new day halachically, it just means a new day for as we consider a new day. So if you happen to take a nap in the afternoon, that's for sure not considered a new day, so you would not make a new bracha. Let's say you wake up in the middle of the night, from the thunder, right? There's a crash of thunder in the middle of the night, and that wakes you up. So, first of all, you have to keep in mind that it needs to be within Toch Kedei Dibur. It needs to be within 2 or 3 seconds. If the thunder crashes and it wakes you up, and you know, like, where am I? What just happened? Well, by the time you get your bearings, sometimes it's more than 2 or 3 seconds, so you have lost your opportunity anyways to make the bracha on that thunder. Maybe another thunder will come about, but you have lost your opportunity to make the bracha on that thunder if it is past already 2 or 3 seconds. Let's say you were already up, or it's the next thunder. So the problem is that the question is, are your hands clean in order to make a bracha? Technically, the halacha is that you're not allowed to make a bracha or learn Torah or daven if your hands are not clean. Those of you who were on the calls at night for the Hilchos Tefillah, we discussed as far as washing hands before davening. The halacha is that before a person davens, they should wash their hands, even women. I saw this explicitly, even for women, and there's no reason to differentiate between men and women. When a woman goes to daven shachris, we assume that your hands are still clean from negavasser if you're davening right away. If you get your kids off to school and carpool and this and that, and then you go ahead and daven at 9:30, 10 o'clock, you have to wash your hands before you daven. And you go ahead and daven mincha, you have to wash your hands before you daven. We pass and you don't make a bracha when you wash your hands, and it's a little bit more lenient as far as using a cup. There are those that say you don't have to have a cup to wash your hands before you daven. You can just turn on the faucet and put your hands underneath. Fine, not halachas for now, but technically before a person davens, learns Torah, and says a bracha, their hands need to be clean. But the halacha is that when you come home and you make a bracha on food, you technically, you're for a bracha at least, you're allowed to assume that your hands are clean unless you know for a fact that your hands are not clean. Here, when you wake up in the middle of the night by thunder and lightning, chances are we assume that it's, again, when, for Negavasser, that in the middle of the night, I don't know what I'm doing with my hands. I'm sleeping, and I very possibly could have touched a covered part of my body. Could have touched, scratched my head, above my knees, above my elbows. We assume, we take it for granted that your hands are dirty when you wake up in the middle of the night. So the Mishnah Berurah says, what should a person do if they wake up in the middle of the night and they want to quickly say the bracha on thunder or lightning? They only have Toch Kedei Dibur, they only have 2 or 3 seconds to say the bracha. Says the Mishnah Berurah that you're not obligated to run to the sink. Rather, what you can do is you wipe your hands on what we call a midi demanki, which means something that cleans a person's hands. The sheets, wood, for sure. If you have a night table next to you, that is good enough. Your pajamas. They say as far as drying your hands, that could make a person forget their Torah learning. Fine, maybe women don't have to worry about that, a big discussion. But here, it's not your hands are wet at all. It's just your hands are not clean. And we say that b'dyeved, that works to dry your hands on your sheets, on your pajamas, or on the wall perhaps, or on the night table next to you. You quickly do that, and but maybe both sides of your hands, and then you are able to say the bracha right away. If you've already passed 2 or 3 seconds, so you're not going to say the bracha on that thunder or lightning. You're going to say, maybe in the next one, you can't fall back asleep. For another 10 minutes, you don't fall back asleep. It happens. Are you obligated to go now? Now I have time. Can I am obligated to go to my sink and then come back into bed and then try to fall back asleep? And then I didn't see anybody say that you're obligated to do that. You'll stay in bed, maybe do that with your hands, and then this way, if the opportunity comes, you don't fall asleep before another thunder or lightning happens, so then you would make the bracha at that point. Once you're up, if you want to go to the bathroom, anyway, so fine, you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands, then, of course, you washed your hands after the bathroom, you said Yashu Yatzar, that's why you have to wash your hands, to say Yashu Yatzar, so then comes the thunder lightning, then you would be able to make a bracha. Fine. One last thing as far as Osamasa Bracious, before we get to the Lachas of Rainbows, is a Lacha that I'm sure many of you know of, that when a person sees noteworthy mountains, let's say the Rocky Mountains or Mount Everest or the Alps, beautiful, large, large mountains, then also the halacha is that you say Osa Masa Bereishis. If you see the vast oceans like Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, then also you say the bracha of Osa Masa Bereishis. There are many situations where, you know, let's say I go to the beach, you know, my wife's in Farakwe, so a lot of times we take the kids to Atlantic Beach over there, and you're looking out at the Atlantic Ocean. It seems like you have to see, you know, maybe from an airplane or some where you're able to see a large amount of the ocean. Whenever I take my kids to the beach over there, you know, when, you know, before the beach hours start, so, you know, then you could take the kids there, I never make a bracha. I don't know, you see out a little bit, but it seems one of the most common times is when you're able to see it from an airplane. I know in the Piskei Teshuvos they go through different situations. There are those that say yes, and those that say no. But definitely, if you see the vastness of maybe from an airplane, the Atlantic Ocean, and you're amazed by how amazing it is, how Hashem makes the world, then you're able to say Osa Maaseh Breishis. There'll definitely be Piskim that say not like that. What the Shulchan Aruch says and the Gemara is the Yam HaGadol, which is the Mediterranean Sea, which is much smaller than the Atlantic Ocean. And there was no airplanes. Okay, so maybe you're standing up on an area where you could see out very far. I don't know, maybe every time you go to the beach.
Like you go, let's say you go, you're on the Verrazano Bridge. You see an expanse of
So people make Osa Maaseh Breishis after Tefillas HaDerech. They say Osa Maaseh Breishis from there. I've never heard anybody who does that.
When you live in New York, when I lived in Pennsylvania, and we came to New York, we said,
if you don't live near an ocean,
Osa Maaseh Breishis.
Because when you're here, it does very same.
You see it all the time.
But when you live, if you live in Missouri and you come to New York, you see
okay, maybe.
There's
also
a lot of. Right. Okay. You're sitting on the beach.
Okay. So that would need to be clarified. Maybe it has to be within, if you see it within 30 days, then you don't say Osa Maaseh Breishis. There's many halachos in regards to that. For sure, when it comes to the Alps, you know, if you live in Switzerland, okay, maybe in Zurich, you know, you can't really see much from Zurich, but definitely from other places in Switzerland, you know, if you go to Lugano, you go to Wengen, you go to and Rosa, there's definitely places in Switzerland where it's just incredible. And I know with my father, those of you know, my father's a very emotional person, he said, Osa Maaseh Breishis, right? You know, right when we got to Switzerland. But there's some, the Alps, you could see it. And the people that live there, they're not going to make a bracha every 30 days if they see it all the time. Okay, so maybe that's why. So let me look into that. If we see Atlantic Ocean, maybe then you wouldn't. Maybe that's why. But like you said, if you're coming from out of there, what about you see always the Atlantic Ocean? But now I go to Los Angeles and I see the Pacific Ocean.
When you go, you also. I mean, it's much more impressive than here. Like beautiful
land. So I don't know. Is that warrant the bracha because it's more impressive? I don't know if that could change whether that makes a bracha or not, because everything else is just so pretty around it and all the palm trees and things like that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Let me look into that. Yeah. Okay.
What about
volcanoes?
It's a mountain.
Is it like a gorgeous, like a huge?
I've never seen one, but
I don't know if it has to do so much with gorgeous.
I think it's like an amazing thing that makes.
Yeah, I'm not sure about volcanoes. Let me look into it. Right, but it seems like it's mountain ranges. You know, not just big mountain range. Like I one time was on an airplane to LA, and the captain said everyone who looks out the right side of the airplane could see the Grand Canyon. Of course, I was sitting on the left side, and I wasn't able to see much. But maybe when you see the Grand Canyon, I think they talk about that also.
Is it subjective?
Could be, if you're not very moved by it. I don't know. You know, besides what we pointed out before, that if you live right there and you see it within 30 days all the time, then anyways, we don't make the bracha. But okay, so let me. I just even had that, like, I added that in the bottom on my notes at the ends. I figured I would say that. Let me look into it more as far as those halachas. If you live near there, it doesn't make a difference in the Atlantic and the Pacific and things like that. Rainbows. Last 15 minutes, we'll do the halachas of rainbows. This is in Reish Chav Tes. When a person sees a rainbow, so you say a bracha. My students all tell me that they know the bracha by heart because there's a song, and they know the bracha, the pasuk of Eretz Chita Sa'ira Gefen Teina. Also, that's a song. Whenever you need to memorize something, you just make it into a song. And so, if you know the song, that's great. Otherwise, the bracha is Bracha Hashem Alakena Melech Elam Zeicher Habris V'Neman Bivrisai. We'll translate it better in a few minutes. V'Kayam B'Mamaro. Not as easy to remember by heart as the other brachas, but Zocher Habris, V'Neman Bivriso, V'Kayam B'Mamaro. So this is based on, as you all know, in Parshas Noach, that Hashem destroyed the world with a mabul, with the flood, and Hashem made a promise that He will never destroy the world again with a rainstorm, and as His sign, as His treaty, as His bris, as His promise that He will never destroy their world again with a rainstorm, He gave the rainbow as His sign, as a promise, as a reminder that He will not destroy the world. And there's different explanations in the Mefarshim. Either the rainbow didn't exist beforehand, because the question is, like, how could the rainbow be the sign? The rainbow is just A rainbow. That's what happens. A rainbow happens a lot of times after a rainstorm. How does that become the sign that Hashem is not going to destroy the world? So there are those that say that the rainbow did not exist beforehand. Only then, by the Mabul, did Hashem create the atmospheric conditions. Maybe you'll know more than me. But that would make a rainbow be seen. That's why the Ibn Ezra says that rainbows did not exist before the Mabul. Hashem created them only after the Mabul. Or we say that no, it really did exist, but just that from now on it would be a sign. Beforehand it was there, but it wasn't really anything major. Then it did become as the sign. Either way, that is the sign that a person, that Hashem promises he won't destroy the world. Why a rainbow? Why did Hashem choose the rainbow specifically as his promise? So the Ramban over there in Parshas Noach explains that if you think about it, if you have a bow and arrow. So a bow, an arrow, if I am shooting somebody with an arrow and a bow. So the bow is, if you think about it, the bow is facing, the curve is away from me. That's when I shoot. The Ramban says it used to be a sign of peace. If, let's say, I'm approaching somebody and I want to show them that I'm surrendering or I'm coming in peace. I don't mean to harm them. So I hold the bow towards me. I hold the bow, the semicircle of the bow, towards me, because that's as if, sort of as if I'm not pointing against you, I'm pointing against myself. That's a sign of peace. So Hashem is pointing the bow, if you picture the bow, the rainbow, as a bow, if you would put an arrow through that bow, which way it would be facing? It would be facing up. So that's Hashem's sign of peace, as if that Hashem is holding the bow towards himself, that he's not coming to harm us, and that he promised he won't harm us, even though he would have wanted to harm us. But that is why the rainbow specifically, because it's like a bow that faces towards Hashem, that is a sign of peace. That's the way the Ramban explains in Parshas Noach. What is the translation exactly of Zocher HaBris V'nema B'Brisa V'Kayim B'Mamaro? So the main thing is to know the simple translation, but just to tell you what the Mishnah Berurah says, Zocher HaBris, Hashem remembers, Zocher means to remember, of course, Zocher HaBris, Hashem remembers his covenant, his treaty, Neman B'Briso, he is trustworthy. Neman we translate as trustworthy. Neman is trustworthy in his bris, that he will keep to his bris, that even though there are wicked people in the world, there are Rishayim, but Hashem remembers, not only does he remember the bris, but he is trustworthy to keep that covenant, that he won't destroy the world. And V'Kayam B'Mamaro. Kayam B'Mamaro means that he fulfills, Kayam, he fulfills Ma'amaro, his word. Ma'amar is a word, like Amar means to say. And the way the Mishnah Berurah says is that even if it wasn't a bris, even if it wasn't a promise, a covenant, a treaty, it was just a ma'amar. A ma'amar is a statement. Even if it was just a statement, still Hashem would keep his word. So Hashem remembers his bris, he's trustworthy to keep his bris, and he's trustworthy to keep it even if it wasn't a bris, even if it wasn't a promise, it was just a mimer, it was just a statement. A lot of people out there, they'll say something, a statement, so then they won't keep it. If they promise, then they'll keep it, but if they just say a statement, they won't keep it. Hashem is not like that, that he will keep it even if it is just a statement. Hashem would keep his word. A few halachos of the rainbow are important to know. First of all, there could be this halacha that some of you know of. If you see a rainbow, you are not supposed to run and tell your friend about the rainbow. The rainbow is a bad sign. Why? Because Hashem brings the rainbow only when he wanted to destroy the world, because people are doing Averos. He wanted to destroy the world, but he promised that he won't destroy the world. So he brings the rainbow as his sign of peace. Many times there's a rainstorm without a rainbow. When there's a rainstorm with a rainbow, then Hashem is telling us, listen, I would have wanted to destroy the world because people are doing Averos, but I promised not to. So I'm showing you my rainbow as a sign of peace. So that's a bad sign that there's a rainbow out there. Because that means that Hashem wants us to do tshuva, Hashem wants us to do bad. I don't know how it works. If there's a rainbow in New York, does that mean that only the people in New York need to do tshuva? What about the people in Los Angeles? What about Eretz Yisrael? If there's a rainbow in Eretz Yisrael, does that mean Hashem wants to destroy the whole world? I don't know. I didn't see anybody who discussed that. But when there is a rainbow, that's definitely not a good sign. And the halacha is, you're not supposed to be the bearer of bad news. You're not supposed to tell people bad news. And of course, there are situations where you do need to tell someone bad news. If somebody had a catastrophe in their family and you need to tell them, there are many situations where you need, as a toelos, you need to tell somebody bad news, but it's not considered a good thing to be the one to tell the person of bad news. So you should avoid it, and that's why the halacha is, the Mishnah Berurah says, that you should not tell somebody the bad news, that there is a rainbow. As a matter of fact, there was one generation where there never was a rainbow, because Hashem never wanted to destroy the world as during that generation because of a very special tzaddik. No, close. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai starts with the Shin. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. In the generation of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, there was never a rainbow, because in his chus, in his merit, Hashem never wanted to destroy the world. That is one explanation why we play with bows and arrows on Lag BaOmer. Because on Lag BaOmer, according to some, that's the day that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai died. Then on Lag BaOmer, when Reb Shimon Bar Yochai died, either there was a rainbow, or now the potential for a rainbow to come back happened on Lag BaOmer. So that's where it has one explanation why we play with bows and arrows on Lag BaOmer, because Reb Shimon Bar Yochai died, and now the bow can come back. But that is number one, that it's not good to tell people about the rainbow. Let's say somebody tells you about the rainbow. Maybe they shouldn't have, maybe they didn't know these halachos, but someone tells you these halachos, someone tells you that there's a rainbow outside, come, wow, look, there's a rainbow. You are not obligated to go look at the rainbow and make the bracha. Is it a nice thing to do? I don't know, but maybe it is, maybe not, but you're not obligated. That's clear, that you're not obligated to go look at the rainbow in order to make the bracha. If you see the rainbow, you're obligated to make the bracha. But if you don't know, if you don't see it, and you're just told that there's a rainbow, you are not obligated to make the bracha. Another halacha. Yeah.
It just seems to me it's so beautiful. You know, it's like, it's
well, the
a,
reason
it's
why
a beautiful thing that the, Hashem created. You know,
the,
has
but why is Hashem? Why is it so beautiful? It makes sense, because Hashem wanted to destroy the world, but Hashem is so nice to us that He doesn't bring another mabul and doesn't destroy the world. So it makes sense that a sign of peace is something beautiful, but it's a bad sign, because Hashem only has to show His sign of peace if He wanted to destroy us, just He had promised not to us, and Hashem keeps His promise. But yeah, maybe it makes sense that it's beautiful. But even though it's
like,
a bad
look
sign,
at the rainbow, Hashem is good to us. You know,
right? Hashem is good to us. Maybe we're bad to Hashem, but Hashem is good to us. So yeah, it's beautiful for us because Hashem shows us a beautiful rainbow as a sign of peace.
I mean, for the women, certainly at the Siyum HaShas, it was unbelievable that when the rainstorm stopped, there was a rainbow that went across the stadium. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have a photo. It was.
I was there. I didn't
notice
it.
I can't tell you. I have a picture.
That's not a good sign, though. I know,
it was so. I mean, and everybody was going, look at that.
It's very weather. Sensitive, a rainbow. Like, you only get a rainbow with, like, certain...
Well, maybe Hashem makes that weather in order to be able to bring...
But, like, sometimes you can see literally, like, just, like, a piece very small. Like,
oh, so we have to get to that.
Puddle,
okay, we're going to get to seeing only part of a rainbow, and we're going to get to a puddle in a second.
Like, for kids and for everybody, like, rainbows are pretty. Clothing and decorations and all that. The kids love to color rainbows. Should we discourage that?
I don't think you should discourage... for sure not for kids to discourage coloring rainbows. Maybe there's others as far as coloring the sun, because that's like a Avodah Zarah, and that's why people don't make a full sun. They only make it in the corner of the... you didn't mean to ask that. But people don't have dolls. You know, there are people that don't own dolls. Or if they have dolls, they chop off the nose of the baby doll, because you're not supposed to have images or pictures of images. But kids, you don't have to...
Kids
you have
grow
to...
up, and then that's why we all think rainbows.
Okay, fine. So that's why we have classes. That's we learn halachas. One very important question, which my students ask me every year, and I don't even understand why they ask it, but if you see a rainbow in your driveway from the oil that drips, or if you see a rainbow, you go to Niagara Falls and you see like a rainbow in the falls, that obviously does not get a bracha. That has no shayches to Hashem bringing a rainstorm. Could have continued the rainstorm into a mabul, but didn't, because He promised not to. So then Hashem brings a rainbow. That's why there's rainbow after rain, because the mabul was rain, and Hashem could have brought this rainstorm into a mabul, but Hashem stopped and didn't destroy the world, so He brings a rainbow to show that I stopped. Rain in the Niagara Falls, in the prism or something like that, or in your driveway when the oil drips, obviously that has no connection to the rainbow of making a bracha. So that is clear that you do not make a bracha on such a rainbow. Another halacha, you are not supposed to stare at the rainbow. It's very hard not to. You're not supposed to stare at the rainbow, and it happens to be, this is clear in the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Chav Tes, that it's not because of the fact... And the Mishnah Brura even brings that a person's eyes go dim, ain of chaos if it happens, whether it means physically, whether it means spiritually, but it's not good to stare at the rainbow. It happens to be that it's not because it's something bad. Not because, because it's a bad sign, so it's not good to stare at it. The Mekubalim tell us very deep things, that the rainbow is the shape of Hashem, whatever that means. Of course, we don't know exactly what that means. And you're staring at the form of Hashem, which is not considered kavod to Hashem, to stare at the shape of Hashem. Of course, you don't understand what this means, but it's hard to control yourself because, like you said, it's very beautiful. And you want to see, is it red and yellow, green and blue, and shiny purple, orange too? You want to see if it really is that. So, but the Shulchan Aruch tells us that you should not stare at the rainbow. My students every year without fail ask me, can you take a picture and stare at the picture? So I would imagine also not, because if the assumption is
okay,
that
Toby.
No, can you take you could take a picture, they want to know, can you take a picture? Take a picture of a rainbow, but can you stare at it? I would imagine the same way you're not supposed to stare at the rainbow itself. Probably, if it's the idea of the form of Hashem, whatever that means, probably you're also not supposed to stare at the picture of a rainbow. Again, this is not like an Avera Deraisa, but this is something that the Shulchan Aruch tells us not to do. Ein of Keis means that the eyes will go dim. When we don't know what these things mean, it's more spooky. If you know what it means, so fine, I could say, listen, weigh the balance. It's so beautiful. So fine, I'm willing. But we don't know what these things mean. It's better not to. One last halacha, which someone had touched upon it before, is the Bir Halacha, which the Chafetz Chaim says that if you only see part of the rainbow, you only see part of the semicircle, then the Bir Halacha says he has a suffik. He's not sure if you make the bracha. And when you're not sure if you make the bracha, so then when in doubt, leave it out, you don't make the bracha. Now this question always bothered me, this Bir Halacha. I only see part of it because it's behind the mountain or it's behind the building or because...
Sometimes the atmospheric conditions, you don't see a full one.
Very good. So Rabbi Yashiv explains, this always bothered me, and then I saw recently in the Rabbi Yashiv, in Ashrei Ish, he explains the following, Lamed Ches Yud Beis, he says what the Bir Halacha means is not that you only see part of the rainbow, but that only part of the rainbow exists because of atmospheric conditions. There's only half of the semicircle. So then there is only half. Not that you only see half, but there is only half. Then we say, then the Bir Halacha has a suffik, maybe yes, maybe no. And when you have a doubt, so then you do not say the bracha. But not if you're pretty confident that there is a full rainbow. Let's say you saw it, but you're driving, and then now you can't see the whole rainbow anymore because now a building is blocking, or the trees are blocking, you can only see part of it. Then you still make your bracha if you know that there is a full rainbow. But if there only part of it exists, that is where we have a doubt, and you would leave it out when you have a doubt. And once again, the same halacha as before, like by thunder and lightning. If it clears and then a new one comes, you would make a new bracha. If it's all the same rainbow, even if it's an hour later, then you do not make a new bracha.
If you happen to catch a glimpse of a rainbow, do you purposely try to see if it's a whole one, or should you just turn away? I'm a little confused about it.
If you've already seen, I would imagine if you see part of it, then you should go attempt to see if it's full or not. Meaning, if you didn't see it, then we said you're not obligated to go see it. But once you've already seen part of it, and you're already in the parsha, if you want to use that expression, mm-hmm. then I would imagine you should go see if it's a full. Okay, we'll stop here for today.